The Opéra du Rhin is regarded by many as second only in France to the Opéra de Paris. Located in the medieval heart of the ancient city of Strasbourg, its elegant neoclassical opera house is listed as a national monument. This beautiful building is to be found at the eastern end of the Place Broglie. Behind its dramatic colonnade, the interior is decorated in a Baroque fashion with gaily painted ceiling, gilded pilasters, and swarms of delightful putti or cherubs playing a variety of musical instruments. It never fails to delight the visitor. As one of many expatriate music lovers living and working in Strasbourg, I formed part of a small group of seven colleagues that each year made up a subscription for the upcoming year's performances of ballet and opera. The key moment of our annual operatic activities was the summit meeting held in somebody's apartment, where our choice of forthcoming events was agreed. Even the Vienna Congress itself could not have been more challenging. But following meaningful exchanges of view and some frank and open discussion, our talks would bear fruit and we would achieve a mutually satisfactory agreement. The odd glass of wine may well have contributed to the invariably satisfactory conclusion. One morning in 2003, one of our group, my Maltese friend and colleague Vanni Bonello, visited me in my office. He told me that he had just talked on the telephone to a young fellow countryman who was coming to Strasbourg to sing the lead role of Rodolfo in Puccini's La Bohème, which was one of our chosen operas. "Why don't we invite him to join us for supper afterwards?" he suggested. I, and all the others when they heard, were delighted that we would have the chance to actually meet one of our visiting stars. An invitation was proffered and was duly accepted. On the night of the performance, we were all thrilled by the beautiful lyrical singing of this young man who was clearly on the brink of a wonderful career. We also looked forward to meeting him, and we picked for supper one of our favourite local restaurants in Strasbourg, located a mere minute's walk from the Opera House in Place Broglie. This little restaurant was one of a traditional kind, which in Alsace are called Windstubs. These are small, cosy restaurants, usually serving the typical regional dishes associated with Alsace, such as choucroute, tarte de l'oignon and back-off. Most also serve something more French brasserie style, such as roast chicken, pâté de foie gras and so on. There is something for everyone in these charming, typically wood-panelled little family restaurants decorated with gaily coloured tablecloths and Uncle Hansi pictures on the walls. The one we chose was Le Clou on Rue du Chaudron, the Street of the Cauldron. Located close to the great cathedral of Notre-Dame de Strasbourg, Le Clou is the very epitome of the traditional Windstub. It is still thriving today and no doubt will continue to do so well into the future. After the opera, six of us made our way over to Le Clou. After a short while, my friend Vanni, who had waited behind for our guest, brought him along to the restaurant. It was obvious that there were other opera goers in the little Windstub, as discreet signals of recognition and congratulation emanated from all around us. Joseph was a fine, burly-looking young man of 25 years with a quiet and modest demeanour. He told us about his early years and how he started singing in his church choir. He had a brother whose voice he loved, he said, but who sang pop. For some reason, he told us, his brother could not make the operatic sound. This mystified but intrigued us. It was some time before Vanni got our guest to admit that just days before he had signed a contract with Decca. We all knew what this meant. Joseph Kalecka had arrived. During the course of our supper, it emerged that that very day was our Turkish colleague's birthday, and the previous week had been Vanni's birthday. This called for action, and our patron's approval having been granted, sing-songs by the locals were regular occurrences in Le Clou, we all launched ourselves into a glorious rendition of Happy Birthday. Although he could have drowned out an army with his great voice, Joseph kept himself in check, and a hearty but harmonious performance was delivered by our impromptu chorus. It was an unforgettable experience, and over the course of the following years, I managed to create a few opportunities when I was able to drop into the conversation, as casually as possible, of course, that once I had sung with Joseph Kalecka.